God will often give us consolation, blessings, and strength before tragedy strikes to help us through the difficult time. But what ultimately carries us is faith in His resurrection and believing in Him by doing what He tells us. Many of you know our beloved Pauline and Marshall lost their son Michael on 4th of July, their youngest of three children tragically hit by a car, instantly killed. But God in His wisdom, who knew all things and knows all things, allowed 2 weeks prior for Pauline and Marshall to have a small intimate ceremony where they would receive the sacrament of marriage in the church. It was a beautiful, intimate occasion in the chapel downstairs of the Immaculate Heart, our daily Mass chapel, recently renovated and now an intimate, beautiful space for daily Mass and small events of prayer. And there, Marshall and Pauline gathered just their immediate family. And their son, Michael, was there, handsomely dressed, tall as ever. Their baby boy, who was anything but in size or age at 34, putting a little flower on Dad's vest and Mom and taking all these wonderful pictures. He's there with his two big sisters and uncles and aunts and nephews. And the family was gathered for a very joyful, intimate event, the celebration of the parents' sacrament of marriage, receiving the Lord as the foundation of their union together, receiving communion, and then gathering for lunch thereafter. Little would any of us know that 2 weeks later, Michael, who appeared in so many of these pictures and who was his father's best man at the wedding, would no longer be with us. In a matter of 3 weeks, we would be burying him. God had to have known what laid in store, and so He allowed this moment of consolation, of blessing, of memory, of joy to be together. Those pictures now and those memories are an intimate treasure that I know Pauline and Marshall hold dear, as do their family and extended friends of Michael, so handsomely dressed, having gone to confession in order to receive communion at his parents' wedding. Those memories and those consolations are a blessing that no doubt being able to go back and treasure helps them through the difficult and tragic loss of Michael's death. But ultimately, it won't be enough. Ultimately, their presence here every Sunday, they're doing what Jesus says, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body." As the Father spoke over Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." That ongoing faith is what carries us through until the resurrection. You know, in my own life, I have had many consolations and blessings from the Lord. And as I look back, almost every time when there was a deep consolation, a great blessing, a joyful moment of thriving faith and prayer, inevitably something tragic would come. It's so frequent and common now that when things are going really well, I kind of worry, uh-oh, what's going to happen next? Maybe you know what I'm talking about. We always remember the trauma and the tragedy, but oftentimes our memory is short-sighted to the events that are negative, like that one criticism among 100 positive things said about us. And we forget that if we think carefully and recall, before that tragedy happened, God was giving us some kind of consolation, some kind of strength and comfort to carry us through what lied ahead. This is what happened in today's gospel. Jesus takes James and John, the brothers, sons of Zebedee, and Peter, the one who always speaks first and thinks later, up the Mount Tabor. They are heading to Jerusalem. Jesus has told them, "I'm going to be arrested, condemned, crucified, and I'm going to die." And the apostles are clueless. It's like they don't even hear Him. He said it repeatedly, and they're on their way to Jerusalem for that to happen. But Jesus stops on the way. He takes the three up the mountain and lets them see a glimpse of His future glory, risen and at the right hand of the Father. Not only that, He shows them with Moses and Elijah, now thousands of years dead, resurrected, if you will, by His side. Why Moses and Elijah? Because Moses is the giver of the law, the author of the first five books of the Torah or the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as it's traditionally held or believed. And Elijah is the epitome of the prophets, the one taken up in the chariot of fire to heaven. And so Jesus, standing with Moses and Elijah, is telling Peter, James, and John through that one image, I am the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. In them, you see its perfection and fulfillment through them, rather, in me. Peter realizes this is an extraordinary event, and he quickly offers to build these altars to honor the three of them when God cuts him off, which is always better for Peter that way, and reveals clearly to them that Jesus is his son, speaking those words as you heard in today's gospel over him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Now, this transfiguration of the Lord is so important that both Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the account in their gospels. Not every story in the Bible is carried by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but this one is, to emphasize how important it was for everyone to know that God will strengthen us before tragedy strikes, to carry us through. He knows all things. The future is not future to him. It is present, as is the past. And knowing such things, he was always wanting to carry us through, to remind us when tragedy strikes of who he is and who we are because of him. On the day of our baptism, God spoke those same very words over us. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. It was true at the moment of our baptism. It's true even in the hardest moments and the darkest moments of sin. God loves us. He is pleased in us. The question now is, what is our response? Especially when tragedy hits, especially when difficulties arise. We saw that even the apostles didn't handle it well, including Peter and James. Christ strengthened their faith, only the three of them. And then he nourished them before his arrest with Holy Communion, telling them the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will scatter. But I have prayed for you that you will be strengthened. And Peter, I have prayed for you that when you turn back, you will strengthen your brothers. Even with the sacrament of the Eucharist, even with Jesus washing their feet and the transfiguration for the select three, all of them abandoned Jesus at the hour of his crucifixion, except John. No matter what God had done for them in Christ Jesus, his son, many of them failed in the moment of tragedy and terror and horror. But Christ prayed for them. He knew that while the transfiguration and the Eucharist might carry them through or not in the moment of tragedy, that ultimately, if they listened to Jesus and did what he said, they would be strengthened and guided by his ultimate resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father, so that, as he says, where I am, you one day may also be. These consolations in life are God's gift to us to help us carry us through moments of tragedy and darkness and difficulty, to not forget that we have been loved and we are loved, and God loves us so much that where he is, he wants us to be. If only we can persevere. That command by Jesus to James, Peter, and John was essential. Listen to him. We have many voices that bombard our mind, especially from the evil one, filled with half-truths. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're never going to change. Life will never get better. There's no hope. The evil one constantly whispers these lies in our ears. That's why God tells us, listen to Jesus. And what does he tell us? Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Place my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body. Do this in memory of me. Take this, all of you, and drink it. This is my blood. Do this in memory of me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I have come so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. Those are the words of Jesus recorded in Scripture. That is his voice to us. Repent and believe in the gospel. urging us to a frequent reception of the sacrament of confession, so that we can receive the Eucharist worthily, rather than doing ourselves harm by receiving him in a state of serious sin. All of these things Christ speaks to us, and God urges us, listen to him, because the consolations in this life are not enough if we don't listen to him. They're not enough if we don't follow him, and they won't be enough on the day of our death if we have not been faithful to him. Christ promises us eternal life, and the witness of Peter, James, and John is clear and firsthand. That's why the church gives us the second reading of today, the second letter of St. Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses. Peter's telling us, I saw his glory with my own eyes. And Peter proves this statement by his willingness to die for Christ on the cross, upside down because of his insistence, because he considered himself unworthy to die in the exact same way that Christ did. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the mountain. Jesus told them, do not tell anyone this until I have risen. And so Peter does tell them, and he puts it in writing. How are you telling others of your witness of Christ strengthening you prior to tragedy and carrying you through in the midst of it? Do you tell others? Do you share that with them? Do you speak of Christ as living and real in your lives? And do you show it by how you live? By your faithfulness here every Sunday? By your frequent and regular reception of the sacrament of reconciliation or confession? And by bearing witness to keeping the commandments in a world that has nothing to do with them and no concern to follow them? When we live that way, we will be a light in the darkness. We will show God transfigured in us by our virtuous way of life. Otherwise, we're a source of scandal. We're no different than anybody else, except we belong to this club where we go to Mass on Sunday for an hour. Like too many Catholics today, we must be different. We must be transfigured now, in a sense, so that others can see in us the glory of God alive, what we've overcome. Addiction, alcoholism, mental illness, divorce, tragedy, and yet we're still here. Why would you do that? Unless you have listened to him and you believe in him. And the promise of our resurrection is what spurs you on. The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth. We profess and we believe it. It's why you're here. And may you hear again and again the voice of the Father who spoke over Jesus at the Transfiguration speak over you every time you receive communion, every time you go to confession, every time you come to Mass, every time you live his commandments in the face of others who refuse to do the same. This is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. You are they.